Everybody wears the same clothes now, and everybody plays the game. Mark and I were raised with so many of the same values. Like,
you work hard for what you want in life.
That your word is your bond.
That you do what you say and keep your promise. That you treat people with respect.
With dignity and respect.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. It is 5:10, and it is Tuesday. It's July 17th to July 19th, 2016. Good morning, and welcome to another edition of The Opening Bell, and welcome to another business day as we get underway this morning. Really no commentary needed at all about the opening montage there of sound. You can draw your own conclusions. I did have to laugh this morning. I get up very, very early and read and start prepping for this show. And one of the things that made me laugh out loud was a tweet from the First Lady of the United States, Michelle Obama, just holding a sign that says, "Bring back my speech." All you need to know about politics this morning, of course, you're going to be hearing a lot about that today as we move forward. But right now, let's talk about business. And to the WGN market desk we go. The futures are lower this morning. Dow futures off about 28. The NASDAQ and S&P futures are off as well. In Asia, generally a down night, except for the Nikkei, which was up about 1%. In Europe, all of the markets lower there as well. Some developing business news this morning. It is being reported by the Reuters news agency that the U.S. seed company Monsanto is now negotiating the terms of a confidentiality agreement with Bayer that would allow extensive due diligence after the German drug and crop chemical group Bayer raised its acquisition bid of Monsanto to more than $64 billion. There is no certainty the latest talks between the two companies will result in a sale, but it is a sign that at least Monsanto likes what it sees with this newest offer. Also, this morning, Wall Street has set another record yesterday, slightly higher on Monday, to meet a new record high for the S&P and the Dow, really. It was fueled by Bank of America's better-than-expected profit and a major tech sector acquisition, SoftBank's $32 billion deal to buy British chip maker Arm Holdings lifted U.S. stocks. Technology sector led the way on the S&P 500. The tech-heavy NASDAQ rose by more than the S&P and the Dow. Bank of America's earnings, by the way, yesterday report continued the momentum for U.S. banks, kicked off by J.P. Morgan. Last week, the bank's shares rose about 3.3% to $14.11 a share, helping the S&P Financial Index gain about 4%. Well, what if we told you that a car, what if we told you that an alcohol company, Jose Cuervo, was using a plant to develop a sustainable bioplastic material to incorporate in vehicles? It's called Agave. You've probably heard about it, and Ford Motor Company is using it. We're going to let Debbie Malewski explain this. Debbie's with us this morning on The Opening Bell. She's one of the senior tech leaders at Ford. And Debbie, good morning. First of all, welcome to The Opening Bell.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Well, it's good to have you on. I think it was Ford. You guys, we had you on earlier this year where you were making another part, I think, for a car out of something that is sustainable. Tell us what you're doing now and with this agave plant.
Yeah, that's great. We have teamed up with Jose Cuervo, the people who grow agave, and they are a very famous old company for making tequila. And after they shred, smash, and extract the juice from the agave plant, they have a lot of fiber left over. 200 to 300 tons of agave are processed each and every day by Jose. And so we are taking that fiber and experimenting with drying it, putting it into plastics as a reinforcing fiber, and potentially making lightweight parts for cars.
So it's not like your car is going to get drunk. I know that's a silly thing to say, but this is one of those things that you hear and you think, well, wow, why couldn't we have been doing this all along?
Why couldn't we have been doing it all along? That's what I ask every day. There's about 400 pounds of plastic on our typical vehicle and about 5 billion metric tons of agricultural biomass that's available. So what we're trying to do is, instead of burning that biomass, instead of landfilling it, frankly, we don't know what to do with it. It's a really great, tough fiber, and when we put it into plastics, it reinforces them just like other composite materials.
Our breakfast conversation this morning, pre-dawn conversation on business, Debbie Maluski, senior tech leader at Ford. Debbie, we'll continue our conversation about this. Ford, Jose Cuervo are teaming up to make car parts.
From ABC News, Wall Street Now, I'm Dave Schreiber. Asian stocks were mostly lower today as investors were in a holding pattern as they awaited more corporate earnings and a European Central Bank policy meeting set for later this week. Investors are waiting for various events this week that they will look at to get a better read on the state of the world economy and what it might mean for stock markets. British data, set for later today, will give an update on how that country is doing after the Brexit vote. A number of U.S. corporate earnings are also expected this week. On Wall Street Monday, stocks ticked higher as investors looked past the weekend's failed coup in Turkey and nudged the S&P to another record. The S&P rose 5.15 points. The Dow rose about 17 points. The Nasdaq Composite rose 26.19. Dave Schreiber, ABC News.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. We're on this morning with one of Ford senior tech leaders, and we're talking about agave and car parts. Ford and Jose Cuervo, the tequila company, that's right, have teamed up to make car parts out of agave. And with us this morning to chat about this is Debbie Maluski. Debbie, this is something, a notion that you guys have dubbed, and maybe you guys haven't dubbed it, but it is a cool slogan, farm to car.
Yes, I absolutely love that. You know how people are buying local foods and farmers markets to avoid the long shipping process of having their food come from across the country? Mm-hmm. We're sort of looking at the same idea where we utilize what is available, what is considered somebody's trash locally, where we assemble cars and not ship materials all over the world.
So tell me again, let's go back to something that you said in the open, and that is just the statistics of how many pounds of junk go into the landfill from the process of using plastic, and how much this might save?
So there's about 5 billion metric tons of biomass, so plant waste, that's available annually in the world. And there's about 400 pounds of plastic on a car. So that number gets bigger each and every year, and every pound of that plastic is derived from petroleum. So our idea is to reduce our consumption of petroleum, utilize fibers that would be waste or would be burned, producing CO2 in the atmosphere. And by the way, plants absorb CO2 while they're growing, and so we reduce greenhouse gas that way. So this really has a positive impact on the environment. And we're developing the materials not only for Ford, but for everybody to use them.
And so give me an idea, too, about the growing process then for agave. This is not something that, because I can hear people say, well, are we going to be start clearing more area of naturally growing area forest? This is an actual agriculture crop, is it not?
Yes. So it takes a long time to grow an agave plant. It's minimum 7 years, 7 to 10 years, depending upon the weather. And then the piña, or the part that's used to make tequila, is a huge, huge sort of core of the plant. And that's what Jose Cuervo processes, and the fiber that's left over would potentially go to us and other manufacturers to produce strong, durable plastics that, by the way, look really great.
Now, this is the other part of this that I like. This is not something that you, meaning Ford, has developed and that you're going to hide and keep. It's something that you do want to share with other car companies, right?
Absolutely. We've been at this for about 15 years now. We've developed 8 materials, bio-based or greener materials that are on our vehicles, and we share with any other industry. We've worked with the mattress industry to produce soy-based mattresses. We've shared wheat straw and cellulose fiber from trees with other companies. And so really, if you are a company that cares about the environment, you will share these technologies with everyone to take advantage of it.
Well, at the beginning of the program, I mentioned that I wrongly mentioned that Ford had done this. General Motors is turning old plastic bottles into car parts. Are they sharing with you with other companies as well? I know they're Chevrolet, Buick, GMC, Cadillac, but are they doing the same thing you are?
Oh, we've had pop bottles, water bottles turned into fabric and carpet for a number of years now. Many of our programs use water bottles, recycled post-consumer water bottles, for fabric and carpet.
The other question I have about this is cost, because when, you know, farm to food, farm to table sometimes is not cheap. Eating organic sometimes is not cheap. Is this a cost that is it going to be more costly for people who are buying cars eventually, or is it going to not bother the price of a car at all?
We aim for equivalent cost, and the way we launch these things is on one program at a time, and then we expand them. And so it's very difficult to get that equivalent cost on the very low volume, but we try to get there for the first program and then expand it. So, for instance, soy foam went on the Ford Mustang in 2008, and all but on its lonely, at that time, oil prices were very high. Then we expanded it to six more programs, and now we have it on every single car built in North America. So that's the model we're using. Is the hope is to get it on every program within Ford and then potentially other vehicles as well.
The petroleum industry probably isn't very happy about this, or are they?
You know, I think some of them are coming to the table that we should use alternative materials for various industries. There's no reason they can't participate in using a natural fiber to reinforce a petroleum-based plastic. Our hope for the long future is to make the actual plastic resin out of plant materials as well. And there's no reason they can't participate in that.
As we have this discussion, the conversation this morning, I'm thinking, well, if Ford can make parts for cars out of agave, can we also make other things out of agave that we can use in our daily lives? Because so much of what we use from the moment we get up and brush our teeth in the morning to wash our hair, to do whatever, it's all petroleum.
Yes, and we can use these fibers to lightweight other household goods and reduce our petroleum consumption. That's the whole idea. Put all the effort into researching and developing one of these materials, it should be utilized for as many products as possible so that we can take advantage of the environmental benefits.
And then you can hear Donald Trump and others say, well, is this something, is this another product that is made not in America? Give us a sense of what where this is grown. Agave mainly is grown, and where the jobs are going to be created with this.
So the blue agave that we're looking at with Jose Cuervo is grown in Tequila, Mexico, and it's grown exclusively there. But agave in general is grown all over the world. So we've assessed other agave suppliers and materials as well. The whole thought here is to utilize what's locally available. So within the U.S., we're using rice hulls. We grow a lot of rice in the southeast of this country. We're using wheat straw in Canada because it is cold, and it's colder, and it's hard to compost that fiber, so why not use it instead of burn it? And in the Midwest in the United States, we're using soybeans from that area because there's a huge excess of those materials. So the whole idea is to use what is available in various parts of the world where we manufacture.
Debbie Malewski is a senior tech leader at Ford. We appreciate you being on this morning, and this is a wonderful new development at Ford, and we appreciate you coming on and talking to us about it.
Thanks very much.
All right, thanks, Debbie. And by the way, we should say Ford is one of our big employers here in Chicago. The Ford Motor Company has about 201,000 employees, 67 plants worldwide, including the big plant down on Torrance Avenue here in Chicago, where they've taken away vacations this summer, added shifts because of the demand for the SUV that is produced there at the Ford Motor Company.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. Both ABC and CBS have teamed with social media this year to provide streaming coverage of the conventions. They started last night with the GOP convention in Cleveland. ABC has teamed with Facebook Live, and Twitter has teamed with CBS and their digital new digital platform, CBSN. It all began yesterday, and Kurt Wagner, who's a writer for Recode.net in San Francisco, was monitoring things as they began at the convention.
It's going to be using Facebook Live, which is the equivalent of, you know, Facebook's Periscope, essentially, to broadcast some of its coverage of the convention. But again, it's going to be different than what you would see on television. And so
that's Kurt yesterday doing a video about it. He was actually periscoping the social media periscoping of the event. A very fun event. And this morning joining us from San Francisco is Kurt Wagner of Recode.net. Kurt, so you got a chance to see all of this. What did you think?
Well, they actually looked pretty similar. So Facebook partnered with ABC and Twitter partnered with CBS, but the actual products themselves, you know, they kind of looked similar, as we've seen Facebook and Twitter start to do over the years. It's kind of come closer and closer together. There's the actual video stream on the left-hand side of the screen. And then on the right, you can see all the comments that people are making about it. And you can follow through. You can like things. You can reply to things. So you're basically mirroring, you know, this idea of that second screen that you hear people talk about. Instead of actually having your phone in one hand and looking up at the television, you can do it all on one screen on either your phone or laptop. That's the idea here, is to mirror the conversation with the actual footage.
So how did it feel? I mean, did it feel like, for instance, if you were on your iPhone, was there room to do that? Did it feel cramped? Did it feel real or not?
You know, I think it always feels a little cramped on the phone, to be honest with you. It's just I'm still not in a mindset now where I enjoy watching anything for a long period of time on my phone. So for me, it probably isn't a killer experience at this point. On a laptop, though, it's not terrible. You know, I actually do enjoy the fact that you can sit here and scroll through the tweets without ever really having to take your eyes off of the footage. I think that the question will be, can they get the footage that people actually want to see, right? So right now, you know, Twitter, for example, is streaming CBS's digital feed. Tonight during prime time, CBS will have something different on television than what it will show digitally. So, you know, are you going to get to see the good stuff, if you will, online like you do on TV? We don't know yet. So I think the experience is good so long as you actually get to see what you want to see.
And it seems like there's also the opportunity for them to take advantage of that and do something interesting with that other feed, as opposed to just that static feed of somebody speaking, right?
Yeah, I think that the whole notion of the whole reason you do this is that you want to complement the television feed, right? Or at least that is what CBS and ABC want. They don't want to lose their TV audience to Twitter or Facebook. Instead, they want to bring in people who might not otherwise tune in because maybe they came across some content on Twitter or Facebook and said, oh, this is actually pretty good, but I do want to see the full thing, so I'm going to therefore, you know, turn on my TV. So I don't think it necessarily needs to mirror the television. In fact, I don't think the TV partners would really love that. I think that's a better user experience, but ideally what you'll probably see is more what I call fringe content or shoulder programming or whatever you want to say, the stuff that's kind of surrounding the main event, but that might lure people into turning on their television at some point, because that's where the real money gets made.
Do you think that's what's going to happen, or is that sort of the tide that's going the other direction? Aren't most people going away from the television, and do you think this might be a losing battle?
Well, I do think it's going to, you are ultimately going to continue to watch more and more on a phone, a tablet, a laptop, whatever it may be. But the thing is like a lot of these rights that Twitter and now Facebook are kind of getting into, sports, live news, they're, you know, the sports in particular, they're expensive, right? Like there's a reason that NBC and CBS and ESPN are paying tens of millions, hundreds of millions of dollars a season to stream these NFL games. I mean, they're incredibly valuable. People build their entire schedule around sitting down to watch a Monday night football game, for example. So because those rights are A, so valuable, and B, they've already been purchased, and they've been purchased for a long time by the existing networks, I don't think we're going to see this happen super quickly. I think the next time those rights come up, which I want to say is, you know, probably at the earliest 6 to 10 years, depending on the sport, I think you might see folks like a Twitter, Facebook, Amazon, Netflix, they might start bidding against the traditional networks like a CBS or an NBC, but I don't think you're going to see that happen anytime in the immediate future.
Somebody said today, isn't it always live streaming events by people who are at these conventions or other events tweeting or Facebooking? Isn't that sort of their live stream? And what is this and how is it different is what the question, I guess, was.
Yeah, well, I mean, think about this as literally the same type of footage, maybe not the same exact stuff, but the same types of footage that you see on television, right? So literally, you know, talking heads, people sitting there debating what was just said, maybe a speaker themselves, the actual, you know, live stream of the speaker up there for half an hour or whatever they may be. And then you see the commentary from people, which is what you normally get with Twitter, on the side. So the one, you know, Twitter can actually be pretty good. Like if you're following a game, you can almost just follow the tweets and get a real feel for what's happening. But obviously you're missing that visual element most of the time. You might see a few short video clips. You're not going to see the full thing. So imagine, you know, all of that commentary, but tied, you know, literally side by side to the live stream of a speaker up on stage or those talking heads who are analyzing things. That's where you get this and why it's a little bit different than what you might otherwise see on Twitter.
Political events especially are such that they draw lots of comments and sometimes not so good comments. Do you think somebody's there watching them very closely and editing the bad ones out?
I do, and I hope so, because that is probably the quickest way to turn people off of a product like this, right? And Twitter deals with that especially all the time anyway, is how do you kind of stop people from bullying each other using inappropriate language. I remember I was watching, they also did something around Wimbledon a few weeks ago to kind of test this new experience, and I tuned in. And there was one of the first tweets that came across my feed once I started watching was, actually someone had hijacked the hashtag, as they say, and was posting, you know, inappropriate photos of it was basically pornography. And so they were using the hashtag for Wimbledon, but throwing up an inappropriate photo. And, you know, it shows up in the feed before anyone realizes what's happening and can take it down. So those are the kinds of things that Twitter and Facebook are going to have to automate and make sure that that doesn't happen. Because I can tell you right now, the NFL is not going to want, you know, pornography showing up right alongside their Thursday night football broadcast. That will not go over well. So you can imagine that they're hard at work trying to figure out how to stop that kind of stuff.
And then on the Facebook side of things, you know, Facebook with the live video or the Facebooking live of the shooting recently, that raises a whole other question about where all of this is going. What is your sense about where this is all going?
And that was a really tough one, right? Because someone's using they're using a technology that 99.9% of the time is probably appropriate and a safe for work environment, right? And then when you start obviously broadcasting violence, especially graphic violence, it definitely gets questionable, and Twitter and Facebook are still kind of struggling, in my opinion, with how to deal with that stuff in real time, right? I think we saw Facebook ultimately took down those feeds briefly while they claimed that it was like a server issue. I think, you know, they probably took it down to figure out, hey, what do we do about this? And they're going to have to, you know, start doing that quicker, because as more and more things happen live on their platforms, they're not going to have the luxury of simply stopping everybody from talking about it for 5 minutes while they decide what to do. I think that this is only going to continue. I don't know if it's necessarily going to be as graphic, hopefully not, as we've seen over the last month. But, you know, this notion that everyone has a phone in their pocket, those phones have powerful cameras and can be broadcasted live over the internet now with pretty much one or two taps. that's a pretty powerful thing. And so I think we're going to see a lot more of this live content moving forward. It's just a matter of, can the platforms themselves police it at the same pace at which it's created? And that's going to be tough.
Kurt Wagner of Recode.net. You can find him on Twitter at KurtWagner8 is his Twitter handle. And Recode is at Recode. You can read his stories at Recode.net. Kurt Wagner via Skype with us this morning from San Francisco. Thanks, Kurt.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
It's 5:52. Welcome back to the program. On the WGN Market Desk this morning, the Dow futures are off about 19 points. The S&P futures off about 6. NASDAQ futures off as well. Lots more earnings reports today that could impact the market. We'll also be watching this Monsanto story. And watching the commodities market is Orion Samuelson. Good morning, Orion.
Good morning, Steve. As we look at the weekly crop progress reports, weather not making a great deal of change in the condition of the crops. The corn crop, nationally, 76% of the crop, good to excellent. That's unchanged from a week ago. And in the soybean crop, 71% good to excellent this past week. That's down just one percentage point. But we always take a look at the three I's, Illinois, Indiana, and Iowa. Corn, 80%, good to excellent, Illinois, 74%, Indiana, 81%, Iowa. And Wisconsin still leading the nation in corn condition, 86%, good to excellent. Soybean conditions, the three I's, Illinois, 76%. Indiana, 72%. Iowa, 80% of the soybean crop, good to excellent. And Wisconsin leads the nation in the condition of the soybean crop, 85% good to excellent. Now, taking a look yesterday at the grain market, we did start the week in positive territory and ended the day there yesterday. The September wheat contract, 3¾ higher. September corn, 4¾. Soybeans up 4.5 cents. And the livestock futures, August live cattle futures ended $1.52 higher at $112.45. But lean hog contracts down to a 2.5-month low, August finishing at $77.82. Have a good day. I'm Orion Samuelson.
Thanks, Orion. You too as well. We have a couple of other stories we want to briefly mention to you before we leave you this morning. There's a new report out that says millennials are the first generation to earn less than their parents. The latest report comes from a British think tank called Resolution Foundation, found that millennials, especially in the UK, are on track to be the first ever generation to record lower lifetime earnings than their parents. The report is titled Stagnation Generation, laid out in stark terms how millennials are falling behind in terms of wealth, earnings, and home ownership. And it points to some key terms about the wealthiest gaining more wealth and those of us who are not wealthy losing wealth, or our wages staying the same. Also yesterday, Uber reported it has completed more than 2 billion trips on its app. The company chief executive said the milestone arrives just weeks after the company's ride service app added $4.7 billion to its war chest and hit 2 billion rides on June 8th.